Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Imagine we just steal Rob and Maggie's intro. Anyway, hi guys. Welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. My name is Kylie.
And my name is Collins. Hi.
That's by the way, that's 2 weeks in a row where I remember to do the intro.
I'm so proud of you.
You should be, because you know what? That's pretty good for me. Yeah, we have a good show today. My week, it was long, like, because obviously Thanksgiving, but it's like the point in the semester where a lot of my assignments are due and a lot of things are due, and a lot of things are also due from my students, and so I'm like pulled in 50 directions at once. But listen, it's December now. It's officially Christmas.
Oh my God. So are you the kind of person that saves space for Thanksgiving, or are you the kind of person that's like, put it up when you're happy, you know?
So we put up our Christmas tree November 1st, the day after Halloween.
Oh.
And it's because, well, Thanksgiving isn't even really, she doesn't need space, right? She's just a stepping stone to Christmas in my head. Okay. Right. And so
Thanksgiving is only stepping stone. That is our
a stepping stone to Christmas.
Okay.
But like she's obviously her own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't need her own moment. Like, she doesn't need a whole month. She's a couple days.
Okay, interesting. I feel indifferent about people, you know. If you want to put up your decorations early, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. I am just when I have time. And it's usually that's valid. Thanksgiving.
That's valid. So, but you know what? We were talking about this before we went live. Like, I thrive in the winter.
Yeah.
Like, I am built for the winter. I am built for the cold. As cold as it gets in Florida. Which is not cold at all.
Which is not that cold.
Not cold at all. And the holidays and the winter foods, like a good soup or a stew, I'm here for it. I think it's because Florida is summer for so long that it's like baseline summer. And then you have like little dips where it gets a little colder. But it's like baseline summer the whole year. And but so like, So I think
y'all are just coming out of hurricane season too. So.
This is our first day out of hurricane season.
What do you mean first day?
It ends the end of November.
Oh.
Yeah.
At least December 1st.
Knock on wood. Hopefully we don't get a weird
How did this
sleep.
Happen? How did this happen? How
I don't
did we
know.
Get here?
I'm hoping that we have a good winter. You know, some nice good weather. Because we haven't had a cold Christmas in a bit. In, you know, where I am in Florida. But you know what? I'll take anything I can get at this point. I woke up this morning and outside it was like 47 degrees and I was thrilled.
That's so cold for you.
Yeah. And I was thrilled. That's why I don't have a wrestling shirt of the day today, guys, because I have on my little crew neck because it was cold. I had my windows open all morning because that's what you do. You open up those windows and you freeze because you know what? We don't get that in Florida and you need to experience it. If there are people in the chat are from Florida, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
You
know exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you want to catch a cold? Isn't that how you get a cold?
I think that's a myth.
Okay. I'm not a scientist. And if I was, we should all be scared for our lives, but
are there any, what are the immunologists? Are there any immunologists in the chat? have like, the most professionalized audience in all of wrestling.
We
have,
I know,
like,
honestly, top tier humans. Yeah. So that's the Pacific Northwest. It has very different weather. Mm-hmm. We are guided what's called El Nino and La Nina, and it's either a wet winter or dry cluster of things. Whether it be snow, sleet, hail, or whatever. So we either have like what you all know and love, twilight, constant cloud covering, it's constantly raining, like that's just kind of the ish, or it's just dry and unpredictable. And that is the season that we're in. It goes like every other year, right? Yeah. So last year was one, this year it is, I think this year is La Nina, and 2 years ago, we had like a bunch of snow, and then it went from like 30-ish degrees all the way down to like the single digits. So all of that top layer that started to melt froze. So it was just ice. And I live on a hill, and I could not leave my neighborhood because there is no amount of snow tires that can help you when the streets are ice skating rinks. I mean, the ice was like this thick when you were like stepping on it with your snowshoes. Mm-hmm. It was like thick amount of ice. So I don't know, wherever you live, be careful. I'd love to know if people are already getting snow. I'm pretty sure one of my friends who lives down in Kansas, they're already getting snow, which is crazy. That's but then it's crazy. December, so
I did see some people on Blue Sky were saying that they got their first snow a couple days ago. So we don't get snow in Florida, unfortunately. I'm very sad about it. But we get our equivalent, which is weather that's cold enough for us to go sit outside and do a bonfire.
That's really cute. That's so cute. That's September weather for us over here. But
baseline summer.
Baseline summer. See, you're a winter and I'm a spring. I like when the weather starts to warm up, you know. I can actually like change my winter tights to my spring tights, you know. And you go from a little house jacket.
Lawrence lives in Montreal, and they say we just started getting a light dusting of snow.
Montreal. I feel like if you live in Montreal, you just have to know that there's just going to be snow here, and that's, you just cope, and you just tip my hat to you, because that's not me. That's not me. I just want to know, like, do y'all have like more than one coat? Because I get so sick of wearing the same coat all the time, but it's not worth it to buy like more than one like winter coat for me.
I have a few because I travel a lot in the winter. So I have, I don't need them for Florida, right? But I need them if I'm going to New York. Mm. Like, I need them if I'm going, because last few winters, this is the first time where I I went to Denver, I take that back.
Oh my gosh. But,
like, I normally have a November, December, New York trip. And this is the first time in a few years that I haven't had that. Unfortunately. Sad.
Damn.
But anyway, damn, we just chatted for 8.5 minutes about the weather.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's how we know that we are old, right? That we're starting to get old, is that it's not by the gray hair. It's not by the aching backs. It's the fact that we enjoy talking about the weather and how it impacts our lives.
That's so true.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So wrestles this week. I didn't watch them live. I was just gonna say I didn't watch anything live. I watched everything yesterday.
Did you watch the Continental Classic?
The C2, you mean?
The C2, yeah.
I watched all of those matches. So I made my own bracket. So if you're following me over on Twitter, I posted the empty bracket so that you could play along with me. You can still play along if you want to. Just let me know. I'm on Blue Sky, Instagram. I'm not really on Twitter anymore. But if you're wanting to kind of play along or whatever and predict who's going to get the points, you can. So far, I only got one incorrect, and that was the Daniel Garcia Okada draw, which at the end of that match, they said that the time limit was going to happen. And I'm like, this is going to be the draw match, because right, there always has to be a couple draws in a tournament that allows draws. I just felt like they had told so much story there. I'm not sure if Daniel Garcia is going to win the C2. I don't think that that would be his place. I mean, he just won the TNT championship, but having him on Okada level tier is like, what the?
He's getting a push.
I love it. I love a good push. And then obviously my other favorite match this week was the Kyle Fletcher match, because hello, everything that they're doing with Kyle Fletcher, and I need to know your opinion about Kyle Fletcher, but whatever AEW is doing of elevating Kyle Fletcher is exactly how you push someone to stardom. Not this stop-start bullshit that we've been so accustomed to. It is pushing them like they matter. That win over Ospreay last week at Full Gear, it changed everything. This is a new Kyle Fletcher. This is not United Empire, you know, Will Ospreay's shadow kind of wrestler. This is the star that you are creating, and I freaking love it. I freaking love it.
The thing that I was most excited about, and I think we'll get into it, is one, Claudio Castagnoli.
Oh my God. You guys
know that I love Claudio dearly. He has a special place in my heart forever and ever and always. Mm-hmm. Claudio getting the big win over Ricochet, which about Ricochet. And then also Brody King getting the big win over Darby Allin.
Which
so it's going to be Brody versus so Claudio. Much
fun wrestling each other.
They do. They're like wrestling soulmates, Brody and Darby. they're so physically different, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm not shaming either of them, so nobody take this out of context. They're physically different, and they wrestle different because of that. But somehow, they just work. Somehow, it just melts together and makes magic.
My God.
And I'm so excited for Brody King versus Claudio. Because of course they both won their matches, and then, you know, they get 3 points each, and go to someone who actually knows how to do tournament math if you want math. Because I mix up the matches, I mix up the numbers. That's why I don't do G1 brackets anymore, because it's so hard for me to keep up with. They have who has the most points in this block? This person is at the top of this block because they beat this person. This person drew. I can't do it. But
it's for someone like me.
Yes.
I do numbers all day. This shit excites me. Every time the G1 comes through, this is me. You know, I feel like the guy from It's Always Sunny, and I have all the strings everywhere, and I'm trying to explain my theories. And you know what? When I did a prediction for the G1, not this last year, but the one previously, which if you're following me and you've been wanting to get on the predictions train, January is when we're starting it, because I will make time because something else is going away. So that's either here or there. I predicted the finals with Naito winning at the end, and I had the most points, and I felt like, I'm not cheating. I know I'm not cheating, because there's obviously, like, you know, difficulties in the bracket. And that's when it was like still the four different brackets. But at the same time, it's like, this is what excites me, is seeing the probability of certain things. And you have to start from the end to build back to the front. And that's how you build great storylines. Because our first match of the C2 was Shelton Benjamin versus Mark Briscoe, which I didn't expect much from. I expected Shelton Benjamin to destroy Mark Briscoe. But 11 minutes and 44 seconds is what the Wikipedia says. And it was a great, entertaining match. It was Shelton being powerful and Mark Briscoe being the Kung Fu Chicken. You know, just two different styles mashed together. And this is what we want for a tournament.
I think my thoughts on this match and then also on this whole tournament is that you have Shelton and you have Mark Briscoe, who are two wrestlers that fans love for different reasons. They're obviously adored and acclaimed, and I think the Hurt Syndicate is rapidly becoming like the hottest act in AEW. But I think what they've done a really, really good job of is putting Mark Briscoe in situations where he's able to take advantage of like the underdog enthusiasm of the Mark Briscoe-ness of it all. And with Shelton, because we haven't seen Shelton all that much since he came to AEW. He's had, you know, a couple matches, but we haven't really seen him. So in this tournament, fans are getting an opportunity to see Shelton Benjamin, who is very serious, very meticulous, very Shelton Benjamin of him. They're getting to see him do that kind of thing. And I think what really worked in this match was because those energies are so different, that they were able to bounce off each other back and forth and back and forth. And it made the match more exciting. It wasn't a long match. It was a really short match. And like, obviously most of the matches in this tournament are going to be pretty short because that's just the nature of the tournament. But I think
time limits, man.
Yeah. I understand the time limits and I understand the necessity of them, but I've always felt like in tournaments there shouldn't be one because I hate draws. I hate them.
You don't like the story they tell?
No. Because I feel like if you let them keep going, there'd be a winner eventually. And like in my head.
That's not the gimmick here. That's not the stipulation.
I know, but like in my head, I need that closure. I need like the ending. I need like definitive. Daniel Garcia beat Okada. Okada beat Daniel Garcia. Whatever end up being. Close the door. And then we move forward. But I know that that's not the rules of the tournament. And that sports have draws. And all the stuff. But.
Yeah.
I do. And I like this a lot in the G1. When a draw ends up either giving someone the block or they lose the block because of the draw and like the math works out that way.
That's what's going to happen with Okada. Because when you look at the blue league, you have Shelton Benjamin in there. You have Kyle Fletcher in there. You have Daniel Garcia. You have Okada. One of them is going to win the blue league, right?
Yeah.
The gold league has Claudio, Brody, Will Ospreay, Darby Allin, Juice, Ricochet, like these draws are going to cost someone.
Yeah.
Having to cost Okada and then Okada trying to, if he gets knocked out of the finals, could you imagine?
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, I love Okada and I've loved Okada at AEW. I know there's been, you know, discourse about whether Okada is being misused in AEW, blah, blah, blah. Right. I don't care.
Right.
I love Okada. And I think Okada has always shined in the G1. He, you know, the C2, he's just like, he's the ultimate boss. You know what I mean? Right. Like he beating Okada in a tournament is a big feather in your cap. Like even drawing with Okada, because he's won like 50,000 G1s. Like, he's won how many? Like seven? He's won them all.
This is why I love like exaggeration, because it's like seven or like 50 million. Like all of it.
It's one or the other. Either way, it's excessive. And also, Mike in the chat is right. Unfortunately, Juice Robinson is hurt.
He's only won four.
Four, but he's been in seven.
he's been in a lot, right? But he's only won four in 2012, 2014. I had to look it up because I was like, I know that he won 2021 and 2022, but it's only four. Only four.
I think in my head it feels like so much more because of that.
It's always been Kenny
and Okada. But also right? That weird time period in New Japan where it was like every main event combination was either Kota Ibushi, Jay White, Ospreay, or Okada. And it was like over and over again, combos of those four.
My favorite time. My favorite time.
Just chaos. That's the chaos era. That is like when everything in New Japan, like shit hit the fan, ultimate like nuclear option, all that kind of stuff. But back to the C2, I don't even know where I was going with my Shelton Benjamin point. But the point is that I think AEW has done a really good job of keeping fan favorites like Mark Briscoe on screen. So you have these like feel good moments, you have just genuine respect for someone while also understanding that we have bigger pieces at play here, right? Like we have the Hurt Syndicate who's on the rise. We have Daniel Garcia who's getting the push of a lifetime. Same with Kyle Fletcher. Don't know why Ricochet is on a losing streak.
I don't know either, man. And the people that are in his league aren't going to make it easy for him to get through.
Claudio, though, can we talk about the loyalty of Claudio? He has stuck by Jon Moxley through everything. He has been a loyal follower of Jon Moxley, a friend, all that kind of stuff. And now he's getting his moment in the C2. Like, obviously, he was ROH champion. He's Trios champion. Don't know what they're doing with the Trios division, by the way, but I love Claudio.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge. From worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And if I had to pick someone who I want to win, it's going to be Claudio.
Claudio's consistency, right? Yes. Like, you always want a dependable wrestler. Whether they get injured or not is irrelevant in this case. The way that Claudio wrestles is preservation at its finest while still looking deadly. Yeah. I love that Claudio is getting this push. He got a push last year during, right? Last year during the Continental Classic. Yeah, Claudio was in the Blue League, and I remember his match with Eddie Kingston, which last year, the Continental Classic, was painted in bold lettering for Eddie Kingston to win. I think you're right. I think that this seems to be painted for Claudio Castagnoli.
And I'm excited about it because, well, one, I think the Death Riders, they're kind of finding their groove because it did feel a little bit disjointed up until Full Gear, at least for me and like my viewing of it. Right. But I do think that having Claudio succeeding on his own is important for the Death Riders to get across the message that like, you're all complacent, hard work wins, blah, blah, blah. Insert Jon Moxley promo here. but I think the good thing about Claudia being in this tournament, and this is kind of like what Mike in the chat is saying, he has good matches with everybody. So mm-hmm. Claudio and Brody is going to be disgustingly violent. It's going to be a like almost atrocious in its levels of just physicality. And I'm so excited.
Because atrocious. I know what you mean.
Like, just like sickening. Because they both wrestle like,
yeah,
lighter, high-flying type opponent. Yeah. And now they're going to wrestle each other. And what I really love about this is it also feels at the same time like Brody and Buddy of the House of Black are kind of getting their own individual stories. Like, they're kind of branching out. You know, they're like baby birds leaving the nest. And so I don't, the Death Riders thing, you know, with Darby, hating Darby. They hate Darby. They hate Jay White. They hate everybody.
I know. I just love how they hate everyone. They keep interfering.
Everybody, so if you're not in the Death Riders, they just hate you. Like, they're not even giving people opportunities to, like, join up.
Listen, I don't want them to hate me. I don't want to be hated by Claudio.
Well, I think if you're a fan, they like you.
Okay.
Because John Moxley did, he kissed the fan on the head after she got knocked out.
Her face afterwards. I loved it. Chef's kiss. That was great.
Chef's kiss, yes. But Claudio, I'm just so excited for him. Because he's always been consistent in AW, like you said. He's always been reliable. He's gotten these little pushes where he's been ROH champion. He's had a good, like the story with Eddie, which was, Eddie's not coming back for a long time, apparently. Very sad about it.
Springtime. That's why I'm a springtime chicken over here.
Why is it taking so long?
Because he's an old man. He got hurt. He wants to make sure he doesn't re-hurt himself. Also, you know, it's Eddie. He's going to come back when he's ready. He's going to come back whenever he wants.
That's true. But I think it's time for Claudio. Okada, I think there's a bigger story in Okada losing that. Because the Bucks aren't there. And also Kenny Omega's not there.
Right.
And so I think there's a bigger story for Okada in losing the C2 than winning the C2.
Yeah.
For Daniel Garcia, it's a little bit weird that he's in here because he's TNT champion. And so, like, you kind of have to protect him in that way. But I don't think you could just hand Daniel Garcia the C2 just because he's TNT champion. When you look in the other block and everybody that's in it, I don't know.
Yeah, here's the thing. I know that there are people in tournaments, like round robin tournaments, that are bound to take the loss, right? That's kind of what I'm seeing the Beast Morto says, unfortunately. It's what I'm seeing Mark Briscoe as, unfortunately. It's how I feel in the G1 every time that, you know, Triano is, you know, just like, there are certain wrestlers who are like that. I don't want to see that for Daniel Garcia. And last year, do y'all remember Daniel Garcia? He only got 3 points last year. He only won one of his matches last year. At least he's not Jay Lethal from last year because he got no points. But like inserting a Jay Lethal, inserting in a Mark Briscoe, like, I don't want Daniel Garcia to be the inserting here because you are a champion and you shouldn't be losing in a tournament. You shouldn't be wasting your time as a new TNT champion on a tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's interesting if the draw with Okada is what costs Daniel Garcia.
Mm.
Because then you get into the thing of, because Okada is the ultimate tournament wrestler and he's kind of known as being the tournament wrestler, and Garcia was so close, but not far enough to beat Okada. I think there's like an interesting story to be told there of Daniel Garcia finally winning the title, you know, the TNT title, finally, you know, overcoming the mountain, but then the self-doubt like starts to creep back in. And then obviously you can tell like a redemption story. I don't know. I don't know who you put him up against in the coming months, because we have World's End coming up in like just over 3 weeks or so. So we have to start thinking about if he's, because the semifinals are at World's End. And so right. if he's going to be in that, we have to be prepared for what happens if Daniel Garcia is not winning the tournament, right?
Well, I mean, page to last year, Eddie Kingston lost his first match in the G1, which meant that he had to win everything, but then he lost to Brian Danielson, right? Mm-hmm. So then it was him on his back, and he has to win everything. So then he wins against Claudio. He won against Daniel Garcia. He won against Andrade, which led him into, you know, the semis, right? The finals, and then the championship finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where when you look at the participants, you look at how many points he scored out of, because it, remember last year it was like a three-way tie between Moxley, Swerve, Jake White. So they all had 12 points. Danielson had 10 points. Eddie Kingston had 9 points. Andrade also had 9 points, but because he beat Andrade, he went into the semis. So it's like Eddie Kingston went in with the least amount of points.
Yeah.
And that's how we get to a Daniel Garcia being in the finals. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I don't see him. This is the thing. It's not even like the gold and the blue like is stacked one way or another. I just think that the champion is in the blue league with Daniel Garcia and Kyle Fletcher, who they're also pushing, with Shelton Benjamin, who they're also pushing.
Yeah.
There's already four. We can't have a four-way tie. That's impossible. And in the gold league, it's like Claudio, Brody, and Will Ospreay. I know that they were trying to shoot for Darby. I know that Juice is possibly injured. But then there's Ricochet, and it's like...
Yeah. And I think if they really do see, like, a future world champion in Kyle Fletcher, which, it, you know, the way commentary talks about him and things like that, you can't... And it sucks to say, but yeah. You can't put Daniel Garcia above Kyle Fletcher in that situation.
Right. Because
Daniel Garcia's launching pad was the TNT title. Mm-hmm. So why, I don't know why he's in the tournament to begin with, to be honest.
Why?
But Kyle Fletcher needs his launching pad, and it has to be the C2. Whether he wins the whole thing or not, I'm not entirely sure, because I do see a situation where he gets screwed out of it. You know, collusion with, you know, Will Ospreay or something. Like, maybe Don Callis wants him to cheat and it screws him over somehow, something like that.
Yeah.
But I do think that Kyle Fletcher kind of has to be the guy. He kind of has to be, because it can't be Shelton Benjamin.
Right.
Because for obvious reasons, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be Okada, right? Like, you can't just be like, okay, Okada, run it back. Right?
I don't think that you're wrong. It's just all up in the air. And that's the best part about a tournament, yes. Right? What do you think of that at World's End, we're going to have our semifinal matches the same night that we are having our finals match? Because the Blue League first place and the Gold League second place will have a match. And the Gold League first place and the Blue League second place will have a match. And the same night, the winners of those matches will have a match.
Yeah. I see the story they're going for, that you, it's like, you have to have true grit. You have to be a hard worker. You have to be a John Moxley approved type of dude, right? You know, willing to do it all. But for me, I do think that it kind of takes away a little bit from the intrigue of it. Because if you say, okay, our finals is this person and this person, I want some time to sit and think about it. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't want, because like you start the show with one, you have another, because you have to kind of do both of the semis
at the same time in the same ring.
It's like War Games, but it's just tournament. That's what we should do with
picture in picture.
That's what we should do with the C2. We should just have the tournament, all of it in one night.
Everybody fight right now. Let's go.
I'm okay with it as long as it.
As long as it makes sense, right? Maybe that's what she's saying. Everyone, if you are live right now, put in the chat who you think is going to win that blue league, who's going to win that gold league. I really want to see what y'all are talking about, because it is difficult to kind of gauge who's getting which push and who's not getting which push. I want to see what everyone else is while Kylie is becoming a robot. Let us know in the chat. Okay, we're getting some Okadas. Fletcher beating Okada would be epic. Oh my gosh. Okada winning all of this just for Okada to win. It's devastating. Oh, I see some movement. Are you back?
Maybe. Am I back?
Ooh. It's still a little pixelated for me, but that also could just be me. We have the chat saying Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay. Okay. Ospreay versus Okada. Ospreay versus Okada. Jeez. You don't like to fantasy book some bangerific matches. Jeez. Man.
It can't be Okada, right?
It could be Okada. It could be. But here's my thing. Why would he have a draw if it's not going to cost him?
Yeah.
Why have a draw? Why do it? Why do it at all if that's your goal?
That's a good point.
I really do love the C2. I love what's going on. And you're going to be able to see it in Orlando, right?
Oh, yeah. I will be at World's End. I will be able to see it. I hope that, fingers crossed, I hope that the rest of World's End, like outside of the C2, is just as good. And that this is not... Not that the C2 is not important and won't be good, obviously. But right. I want the rest of the card to also be good. Like, I want the good women's matches. I want the tag. I want, you know, a complete pay-per-view situation. And so I'm hoping that we get some good matches all around to wrap up the year, because AEW is moving to streaming on Max or simulcasting, streaming, simulcasting.
Yeah, I don't know.
On Max in January, mm-hmm. which thank God is happening, because that makes it so much easier for me to access it. It's so much easier.
I'm interested. I'm interested because did you watch, speaking of streaming, did you watch the Jake Paul fight?
I did not.
Okay. I mean, I didn't watch it either because I don't support that. But the memes and things were funny. But seeing how Netflix dealt with so many people tuning in, I don't think that many people are going to watch AEW. I could be surprised. But it was like in the, you know, what, 20 million range, which is crazy. But the accessibility is what we are looking for. And we are looking for how the streaming platform is going to handle, right? Mm-hmm. We saw Bleacher Report go, BR, right? BR Live, just completely tank its quality. So, I mean, it's not the same company, and Max is obviously a much more oiled machine to deal with live streaming like that. But have they done anything that's been live streamed like that? I know that Amazon does football, and Netflix has done other live things. I'm interested to see how if AEW is going to be the first of its kind.
Let me look it up, because I don't know if I don't know anything.
I don't know either. But that whole entire week, though, we have World's End is going to happen, right? World's End is going to happen on, oh, I'm by myself. Hello, this is my face. Netflix did a hit for eating contest. Interest. Oh, I was like, eating what? Sorry, that's
oh, like Gen Z. What's his name? Joey Chestnut or whatever. Wasn't there a thing where he was like kicked out of the hot dog eating contest?
Oh my God.
Am I misremembering this?
That sounds insane. I love
Lawrence, that. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know, because I need to know. But December 28th is World's End, right? So yes, we are getting through the holiday season. The 28th is a Saturday. The following weekend, we have Wrestle Dynasty and Wrestle Kingdom, which I don't... This is not where AEW thrives. They do not thrive in multiple building storylines at the same time, a la All In and All Out last year. Things can happen, and I know that Wrestle Dynasty is more than one company, so it might be easier for them. But we have to build to something. And right now, the Wrestle Dynasty card does look pretty juicy already.
Yeah.
With the United Empire versus the Young Bucks. We have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ricochet. We have Shingo Takagi, the never open weight champion, versus Takeshita versus Ishii. We have Yoda, I can never say his name. Yoda Tsuji versus Jack Perry. I can never say it. Somebody's going to tell me. Wrestle Dynasty will not be an AEW pay-per-view. I don't know what that means.
AEW is part of Wrestle Dynasty, though, Mike. So they still have to, like, build for Wrestle Dynasty. Wrestle Dynasty is, like, it's AEW, it's CMLL, it's New Japan.
New Japan, Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor and Stardom. I think that's
so it. So where is it going to stream? Is it going to stream on
there? Where is it streaming? That's a good question. Is it on pay-per-view? Like just normal pay-per-view?
I don't know. I bought the 2-for deal for Full Gear and World's End. It took off about, I don't know, $15 combining them together.
Yeah.
It's going to be on New Japan World. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Stream it, honestly, everywhere. I totally agree. But the other matches, we have Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd, and we have Shota versus Claudio, which is already crazy. But we also have the women's four-way for the International Women's Cup.
Yeah, which is such an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Because essentially, the promotions involved in Wrestle Dynasty, they're all involved in this International Women's Cup. I mean, obviously not, uh-huh, you know, not New Japan. But let me see if I can find, like, all the... Okay, so the AEW... I mean, spoiler alert, Jamie Hayter beat Queen Aminata. So Jamie Hayter advances. Sorry.
Fantastic match. I really wanted to get your perspective on...
On the match,
that match in general, but who do you think is going to win the AEW, and who subsequently do you think is going to win the ROH one?
I think Queen Aminata has proven herself enough in AEW where she should be involved in something bigger, because they constantly, if they need someone to have like a good match, like a good showing, it's Queen Aminata or Serena Deeb. Like you get one or the other. And so the Jamie Hayter match with Jamie Hayter versus Queen Aminata, I thought was excellent. I thought it was really good. I think Jamie Hayter needed it because she came back, mm-hmm, and then it's been basically crickets. Yeah. And so I thought that match was a good way to kind of get, you know, get the pot stirring again. Mm-hmm. I do think that she'll win the AEW part of the International Women's Cup. Because the other, it was Aminata, Hayter, Deeb, and Nightingale were like the AEW side.
Yes.
In like a mini tournament, which mind you, I found this out, CMLL and Stardom and Ring of Honor, like they didn't do the mini tournaments. Tony Khan was just like, in AEW, we're going to do a mini tournament to determine our part. Okay, that's fine. But Jamie Hayter, of course, advances. I think she'll win the AEW side. I think Athena will win the Ring of Honor one, because the Ring of Honor, it's Athena, Red Velvet, Billy Starks, and Layla Hirsch, which, like, not knocking the other three, obviously, but Athena, I think, is the best representative for Ring of Honor in that thing. For, like, you know, it's going to be a big show simply because it's the first, and it's right next to Wrestle Kingdom, and it's, you know, a new era of AEW, and it's just important that it's the best it can be.
I mean, Athena's probably not going to have her championship.
That's true. Which opens her up to come to AEW, but
I digress.
I do think if you're Tony Khan, right, mm-hmm. you need to push as hard as you can for Jamie Hayter to win this whole dang thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she needs it. Because you have so many big players in the women's division now that I think they're struggling to find a place for Jamie Hayter without displacing other people. Because, you know, right. Tony Khan, it's like, there can only be one. But I think that Jamie Hayter winning the whole thing, like, and by the whole thing, I mean, you know, being not just the AEW winner, but beating the CMLL right. winner, the ROH winner, like the winning the whole cup, I think is a big freaking deal. And I think that Jamie Hayter could then use that to, you know, jump to the women's world title picture. You know, because, like, I'm assuming that Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa, that story will be wrapped up with a nice bow in time for Jamie Hayter to make a push.
Yeah.
I think. And then obviously Toni Storm, whenever she comes back. I don't think Toni Storm, Mariah May, too, needs to have the title involved. I think you can just do Blood Feud, which I think Toni Storm would shine in. You could do cage match, you could do, you know, whatever you wanted, essentially those two. And so I think Jamie Hayter, and I am a little bit biased, but I think that she, you know, judging on who's on the AEW side, who's on the Ring of Honor side, the CMLL side, I don't know who's on the Stardom side. I don't even know if Stardom has announced who's on their side yet, but I think Jamie getting that win would be a big feather in her cap. So,
and Tarasante, I don't see that the Stardom names have been announced. At least it isn't accessible where I'm looking. I also find it to be interesting, and maybe this is just me looking at the aftermath of All In, but do you remember, like, at the beginning of AEW, every tournament, everything sponsorship wise, Britt Baker was the forefront of, right?
Yes.
While I don't want to fault Britt Baker for how stinky of a match All In was, because it's not that stinky, like, not her worst match, so to speak. But I think that Tony is listening, that it's not that we don't love Britt Baker, because Britt Baker obviously is very marketable, connects with the fans in a different kind of way. But I think the fans are changing in AEW. And I don't think that Britt is, I don't think that Britt is the it girl anymore, right? I don't see her even being in the same realm anymore, which is so shocking, because we all know how much Tony has regarded Britt Baker as the face of the women's division. She looks great. She connects with the fans, but I'm concerned. I mean, it's not that I, you know, expect Britt to be on the level of Jamie Hayter or Queen Aminata or Serena Deeb or Willow, but to have her not even mentioned here is shocking to me. Having her not be back in the locker room, not having those sustainable relationships. She had her one match, and I know that she's busy, but I'm a little shocked, you know?
Yeah, am I frozen. Back?
I think you're back. I'm seeing you. Okay. But like Jose,
my wife has been bad all morning.
Yeah. Listen, it's because it's frozen. It's frozen. I totally agree with Jose over here that Britt was off for a very long time and she came back to a very athletic locker room. I think that the talent is surpassed Britt's need, but Britt has so much charisma. We cannot sidestep the fact that, you know, maybe she just needs more practice. I don't know. More focus. How do you do that?
I don't know. Because I also think now with Britt, they kind of have to battle the fan dislike of her because people, they don't want to see her because for so long she was in everything and people just got sick of her. And like her comeback, you would have assumed that would have resolve the issue, right? Because she was gone for so long, and bring her back, but people still weren't excited to see her. And so now people go into a Britt Baker match assuming that it's going to be a stinker, that it's not going to be good. And I don't know how you fix that apart from building her back up, putting her back, you know, in the undercard, having some good matches on Collision, some good matches on Rampage, a Dynamite match, maybe a couple promos, things like that, and build her from the ground up. And the issue with that then is you kind of expose her weaknesses.
Yeah. Which
a lot of her weaknesses, unfortunately, compared to the rest of the roster, are in ring stuff, right? Like she has wrestled the same for so long. And so you need her to diversify that part, as well as this whole building up from the bottom thing. And I personally, I don't think that a rebrand would hurt either. Get rid of the dentist stuff and figure out Britt Baker outside.
That's a lot to ask for her.
I know, but she's got to do it. it's like just starting over, essentially, because you need her to earn back fan goodwill. And they're not just going to start believing in Britt Baker again because she's challenging for the world title for the 50th time this year.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You need to, like, give them a reason to believe in her. Because right now, fans are fine without her. They have Julia Hart returning. Jamie Hayter's back. They have Athena. They have Mercedes. They have Chris. They have Mariah. They have Mina. They have Tony. They have Serena Deeb. And, oh, my God, they have Willow. So, like, they don't need Britt Baker the way they used to. And so who is Britt Baker now? You have to start from the bottom. And I don't know if they're going to do it. I really don't. I don't know. I mean, obviously she's doing acting and, you know, other stuff now.
But that's also the thing of, like, she is widely known. How are we pushing into the Max era without even having her on TV, in my opinion? That is just my opinion. It's fine if you don't agree, but Mercedes can only go so far, you know?
I assume that their story was Britt eventually overcoming and beating Mercedes. I don't assume that's the plan anymore. And obviously this is my speculation, of course. Because the whole Mercedes Camille thing was kind of not great. And the Mercedes Chris match was so stellar.
Yeah.
I don't see how you just throw Britt in there again, because you already gave Mercedes one bad story with the Camille thing. I don't think you can do it to her again. You can't do it to her again. And so if I'm Tony Khan and I have Britt Baker, which I don't know when Britt Baker is coming back. Like, obviously I don't know her acting commitments, her other commitments. I have no clue. But you sit down and you make a plan and you say, okay, you're going to wrestle these people. You're going to build up some wins, get some reps in, get you in front of an audience, see what they react well to, see what they react poorly to, kind of test the waters and rebrand. Because, I mean, she's not the first person in the women's division who's rebranded like this. I mean, Chris Statlander's rebranded a million times. But I feel like it's life or death. Like, it's sink or swim for Britt Baker at this point.
And honestly, I feel like she could... She doesn't need wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, if the acting thing is what she wants... But it kind of sucks that, like, we're on the timeline where that all-in match was not as, you know, stellar as was projected, right? The Britt Baker of 2020, the Britt Baker of 2021 didn't show up. Mercedes, who we know can't have a really good match with Chris Statlander, which was incredible to see. But... It's a weird situation to be in when Britt Baker, the woman that you completely focused on for so long, yes, she was out with a very serious injury, but I want to feel something again, you know, like I want to feel connected to Britt Baker because I do love Britt Baker. I don't think that she necessarily was forced down our throat. I think that she was our only option for so long. And now there's so many different characters to play with. So many different wrestlers, so many different types of wrestlers lurking in the shadows and new people coming up all the time. To be honest, I just don't think that AEW is the right fit for her anymore.
I don't disagree. And I also think that her return, I think some of the blame for it going so poorly should be placed on AEW because fans were so sick of her being the, you know, the main person, the spotlight, all that kind of stuff. And she disappears and they bring her back and they put her right back in there. Like getting what, like the coveted Mercedes match it all in. And so I think that was a misstep by AEW, assuming, I don't know if they assumed that fans would just be okay with that because they're excited to see her back or what the deal was. And then the match obviously wasn't good enough to make up for like the creative misstep. And so I think some of the blame should be placed on AEW for that. But I also think that, if Britt wants to be in wrestling and she wants to be in AEW, there's a path forward where she can fix things and AEW can fix things, but they just have to make the right choices. And I think when it comes to Britt, they've made a series, not just the all-in thing, but before that as well, a series of poor choices. And so like when the women's division is this good and you have so many women who can have bad creative and pull out a good match and it kind of makes up for it. I don't know. It's tough to say where Britt then, you know, fits in. And then you look at Ring of Honor and you have a lot of young wrestlers in Ring of Honor, especially in the women's division. And they're kind of doing that where they're wrestling these, you know, shorter matches, but important for, you know, skill building, things like that, and having these stories and working their way up and learning like who is Billy Starks? Who is Layla Hirsch? Like Red Velvet as well. Who are we? And figuring that out, obviously with a smaller Ring of Honor audience. So there's some of the pressure is off. And I think some of the reason Britt has had so many missteps is because she was doing that in front of the big AEW audience. But Ring of Honor is like, there's a lot of women there who are kind of simmering that can make the jump to AEW if needed. And I think they translate well, and I think the crowd receives them well, and I think they're excited for that. And I think that the issue with Britt is that nobody's excited to see her anymore. obviously she has diehard fans, like, you know, they're all, they'll always be around, but in general, the whole audience, they're not excited to see her anymore, especially, like, as Mike points out, you have people like Deonna Purrazzo who should be in a bit
should be winning
a prominent spot. And you know, they aren't in a more prominent spot for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's just misstep after misstep with the women's division when there's so much talent that it's almost, it's a crime. Like, it's so hard to have a roster like the AEW women's division and still mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard. And they did it.
It's crazy. To me, it's actually crazy that Deonna Purrazzo is not at the forefront. She's not even in that tournament, which is crazy. It's also crazy to me that you have a healthy Mercedes Martinez sticking around Ring of Honor and you got nothing. This is the shit that makes me cry. I love how Britt Baker is in the charismatic nature of her. I love how marketable she is. I love how she has everything except the wrestle down at this point, where you have actual people who have that charisma like Deonna Purrazzo. And we're just tits up right now.
And the thing about Deonna that really confuses me is she is like a finished product, right? Like, mm-hmm. she in ring character promos, like, she is complete. Like, she does not need to be developing anything, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an open goal as far as I'm concerned. And they did the Britt Baker story, the best friends, you know, turned enemies, whatever. But they haven't really done much with her since that's been, in my opinion, like, at her level, like, her caliber of wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's creative. I don't know if she needs time. I don't know, ultimately.
Yeah.
But I think that she should be a bigger factor in things. And the fact that she was on the Full Gear, you know, pre-show, and the match was so disgustingly short and pointless, ultimately.
It's stupid.
And I think that I don't know what the solution is for AEW. And, you know, we talked about this in our Full Gear review, so I don't want to harp on it. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of men's matches on that card that should not have been there. They were stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And like Eric says, you have Thunder Rosa, you have Taya Valkyrie. I mean, they have Julia Hart is coming back soon. You have, you know, Penelope Ford and Anna Jay and all of these people that are just sitting. They're just lurking.
Just waiting. Just lurking. Waiting to be used.
When you could do fantastic stories with them and fans would be interested. And I don't know why there's this assumption that you have to be involved in the title picture in the AEW Women's Division, TBS, or World to have a promo spot, to have a match, to have something.
If you do it with the men's, you should do it with the women's. It's 2024. We're going in 2025. There should not be you have lucha wrestling and then you have strong style wrestling and then you have women's wrestling is not a type of wrestling because there are so many different types of wrestling that exist in women's wrestling. There are so many stories to tell. And the only reason why these stories aren't being told is themselves. It's that meme, right? Where it's, you shoot the guy in the chair and then you go, why is there no women's division? And why are there no stories? You literally are telling us the stories. You are the one that's in charge of telling the stories. And this is where my brain goes from happy tears to crying tears, because we're seeing these amazing talents like Deonna Purrazzo, like Athena, just wasting away in Ring of Honor. They are so dynamic personally. They come across so well off, you know, on screen, whether heel or face. They can wrestle anything, and yet we're putting them on their pre-show when nobody's in the fucking crowd.
Yeah.
They're having 9-minute nothings.
Yeah.
6-minute nothings. And then you go, well, you know, we want them to be for a championship title and we want them to matter. Yeah, we always want them to matter. But you can have feuds without title belts because you're the one telling the story.
Yeah. And what really upsets me mm-hmm. is you have Deonna Purrazzo, who, gender aside, right?
Yeah.
Is a very high caliber talent.
Absolutely. Right?
And so you're telling me that MJF can go onto the main card and wrestle the same MJF match he's wrestled for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And Deonna, who, in my opinion, chat, in my opinion, is a higher caliber talent than MJF.
Yeah.
She can't get on the main card. She can't have 15 minutes on a pay-per-view that doesn't have a time limit.
Right. Why?
I don't get it. Especially because MJF versus Roddy, I liked the match. It was fine, but I liked Roddy in the match. I love Roddy. And Deonna is, in my opinion, she should be featured more. I think, it, like, if you built, like, a tier list of the women's division in AEW, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's, like, top tier, like, in terms of the talent they have. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is not me saying she's better than Mercedes and she's better than Chris because she can be on the card and they can be on the card.
They can all be on the card,
too. They can all be on the card. And they could both have 15, 20 minutes and have good matches. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, if we want so-and-so on the card, we have to take this woman off because there's only the one spot, which is stupid. It's stupid. It just is. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
I'm glad that you got it off your chest. I'm seeing the chat go. And remember, chat, if you would like, I know that we've been pulling some comments up, but if you want to support the show, you want to support us, be sure to send us a little super chat and we'll definitely read your comments and statements on the podcast. I mean, even just $1.99. Come on. You I know that you want to participate in the show. We love that you participate in the show. So but I don't know. I know that you could tell a story in under 10 minutes, but I know that great stories, legendary stories can be told in 25 minutes. When has a women's match been over 20 minutes? When? Are you telling me that you can't tell a story like you tell men's story? Why? Because women have tits? Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with these booking decisions?
And I also think it's funny because there have been in AEW a lot of really bad men's matches that have gone on way too long. Like, I don't get it. And I think that
absolutely
when it comes to Britt, I think that she kind of makes the situation worse from the fans' perspective because they already don't want to see her. And like fans know that it's basically plugging in different Legos into the same model, right, for the women's division. Mm-hmm. And so I think fans see her as taking up even more real estate because it's not like MJF is on the card. I'm sorry to be dogging on MJF, but...
I mean, you could dog on him.
It's not like MJF is on the card and you can kind of forgive it because you have six other men's matches and you can still get what you want. Like, there's one women's match. And like Britt Baker comes in and takes up 50% of the real estate then. Fans don't want that. And it's not that Britt Baker can't be on the card. It's not that she has to disappear forever and quit wrestling and go live in a hole. It's that you have to have something more. And I don't know if AEW is aware of that fact. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know. But I just know that we want women's wrestling. There are people in the crowd with signs for, did you see the Jamie Hayter match or the Jamie Hayter match? The Jamie Hayter sign that was like, Hayter? No, I love her.
Aww.
Which I was like, why have I never thought of that? Like, it's clever so little song like this. Like, the merch has been like absolutely stellar. I know that AEW shop is running a deal. I want to make sure that I'm saying this correctly. Shop AEW, which by the way, I think it's very funny that every time I Google shop AEW, WWE's shop comes up first, which means that they are paying Google for that to happen. But yes, there's 10 days of Black Friday, no coupon needed, up to 50% off, 50% off action figures, 25% off everything else, until December 2nd. So tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time, which, by the way, every time I see the 1 p.m., I have to tell myself it is not 1 p.m. my time. No, it's 10 a.m. Pacific time, which I think is such a weird opportunity. Like, why is it that? But if you want Outrunner shirt, because it's so silly. Hello, Preach. I thought that said peach. I was like, oh, I love peaches.
I do love peaches.
Peaches. Oh, wait, we can't do that.
Thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate it.
You're in my heart forever. I feel like I could harp on how Tony Khan books the women's division, because we see how well it can be booked on NXT.
Yes.
Right now, the NXT women's division is, like, their storylines I do not like. I don't like their storylines sometimes over on NXT. But the way that they're booking, you know, Stephanie Vaquer, the way that they're building Julia, the way that they are building Roxanne Perez, the way that they're building other women up, Tana Paxley, it's fantastic to see. And while I don't watch week after week, I do keep up with all of those lovely post shows, like our friend Kate. I love watching Kate. I love watching Sour Grabs, because I learned so much. And watching, I mean, I know it's not just Shawn Michaels, but seeing Shawn Michaels' hand in a lot of those feuds has been like, wow, you can actually book the women like you book the men.
Yeah.
Why not?
Shocking.
Shocking. You can make Jordynne Grace coming to NXT a big deal. You can make Tana Paxley going to TNA, right? She was doing stuff with Rosemary. No. Am I thinking of something else? No, that was a Wendy Chu, right? Kalani Jordan. The fact that there are so many names and I'm going, oh, I thought it was this one. It was this one. NXT is doing great business.
Mm-hmm.
What is AEW doing? It's women's wrestling isn't just a type of wrestling. It is its own entity in itself. And you are shooting yourself in the foot thinking that you can't make so much money off of it. Really, like, AEW is a business. I get it. But it's what you do with the wrestlers that you've invested in is if they're going to leave or not. You know, are they going to re-sign? I do have to say, I love this push for Harley Cameron. However, knowing that Saraya re-signed makes me think that she's still lurking backstage, but I love this break without her. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. More women's matches. Women's matches aren't just a gimmick. But
sorry, that Saraya thing really got me.
Listen, I was a Paige fan, right? I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
We really were
rooting for you so hard, and then you had to do what you got to do. But anyways, this has been a great episode. We've just basically talked about what we like and what we want to improve, and that's the business of it all, right? These are just our opinions. This is just what we like. Honestly.
Big Man Doc says, I forgot Saraya was still in AEW. Same. Until Collins just said it.
How could I forget? How could I forget?
She
honestly.
I forgot she was there.
So I do have to tell you. Nothing has opened my eyes up more to who I follow on Instagram than y'all. Because y'all will be like, do you know that you're following this wrestler? I thought you didn't like the things that they posted. And I'm like, you know what? Instagram is the way that it is, where it's like, I see five people. I see five people and then I get bored. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that I was following her. And then one of our listeners was like, hey, I know, you know, you don't like the things that she stands for. She just posted this like really like transphobic thing, you know, and you follow her. And I'm like, oh, let me fix that.
Yeah.
Because that's probably been residual from 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, she was on a sobriety journey and then that impacted me, which has been great. But I don't need to see transphobic ish. And I don't care what people think about that other than me. I don't want to see transphobic stuff on my social media, so I don't need to follow it. Regardless of where I go in this media industry, I think that's my line. That's because that protects me, right? And you should do the same. So.
Preach.
That's what I'll say on that.
Peach. Peaches.
So this is... Peach. This week, by the way, we have Claudio versus Brody and Shelton versus Kyle. Before we leave, I want to know who you think is going to win those matches.
I think Claudio over Brody, okay, in a close match.
Okay.
And then I think Shelton and Kyle.
Yeah. Whoever it's wins this Kyle, match.
Right,
it has to be Kyle, but how is that going to happen?
It's crazy because you could see a situation where Don Callis helps Kyle win, and then that pisses off MVP, and then you kind of get that little faction wars going.
That sounds awesome.
But then you also have the same thing that could happen in Claudio and Brody, where Claudio is obviously a very important part of the Death Riders, and Brody in the House of Black. Interesting.
It could be interesting. I'm into it.
Who do you think is going to win?
I think Claudio over Brody, similar kind of story. I mean, Brody had such a great exposure last Continental Classic. So seeing him lose, I don't think it's going to hurt him. But if we're going to have Kyle Fletcher lose one match in this tournament, I think it should be against Shelton Benjamin.
Really? Keep
Shelton strong. I don't think Shelton Benjamin is going to win the whole thing, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Shelton has to go against Fletcher, Garcia, Mortos, and Okada. I don't think he's winning against Okada. I think he'll beat Garcia and Mortos, and I think he'll lose to Kyle Fletcher, or do they have another draw? I don't know. But I don't see Shelton Benjamin in the finals per se, but I think Shelton Benjamin winning against Mark Briscoe, Garcia, Mortos, and I think that's good enough. 9 points. That's fine.
Yeah, that's solid.
It's solid. But losing against Kyle Fletcher and Okada, they're the two finals.
And there's no shame in losing to Okada or to Kyle Fletcher, especially
right, Okada, since he's won the G1 800 million times.
800 million at minimum.
Minimum,
yeah.
All right. Well, what you got going on there, Kylie?
What do I have going on? In life?
Yeah. Tell us where we can find you.
Oh, you can find me on Blue Sky. I thought you were asking for me to comment.
Okay, well, this week. You want to keep going? I mean, we could do a 2-hour show again.
I'm afraid that my Wi-Fi will go out again. It's been a bad Wi-Fi day. I don't know, guys. It's frozen here in Florida. You can find me on Blue Sky and Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I'm more active on Blue Sky than I am on Twitter. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I locked my Twitter. I think.
So no one can get in. No one can get out.
I mean, you can follow request me, I guess. But Blue Sky at Kylie Wrestling. You can also catch me here on Wrestling Made Me Cry every Sunday at noon Eastern time, not Pacific time, Eastern time, on Fightful Overbooked, which is just a show. It's like basically open forum where me and Collins just talk about like what we're liking in wrestling and like what we're not liking. What makes us cry?
What makes us different kind of cries?
Right? In all the ways. All the ways. It's basically just a show where me and Collins text each other and say, what did you watch this week? What did you like? Yeah. And then that's the show. So it's just a hangout. Someone told me that the show feels like being on FaceTime with your friends. And I love that. It feels like being on FaceTime.
That's going to make me cry.
I thought that was so cute.
That is so cute.
Yeah, we have like a good audience, a good community, all those kind of things. But this is also Fightful Overbooked. There's a lot of wrestling content on Fightful Overbooked, like coexisting with Robin Maggie, In the Weeds, which is like a news kind of show. But there's also some non-wrestling content. So after our show, go to the playlist tabs and just go explore and see what's going on. There's so many shows on Fightful
Overbooked. So many.
I can't keep
something up with them. Something for everyone.
There's something for everyone. Exactly. It's a variety show.
Da, 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 da.
What about you? What's going on in your life?
Oh, I have so many things going on that it's a billion spinning plates. So Mondays, we talk about women's classic wrestling over on our local establishment. I do that with Astrid and Melville Collins. Because we didn't do it this last week because I was having really bad back spasms. I don't know if y'all noticed last week. It was very uncomfortable because my back was spasming. Apologies on that. But we're making up for it. We're doing a twofer. We're doing episode 2 and episode 3. This next week, I mean, it's Mercedes Martinez is in there. Hello. Shayna Baszler is in it. Hello. Let's talk about it. And we talk about it retrospectively. 7 years later. Oh my God. Okay. Well, on Thursdays, I also talk about Ring of Honor with Kimmy Sokol on the same, our local establishment. Don't worry. Links are going to be, in my link tree. And we're just yapping about Ring of Honor. That's what I got going on. And then I'm here every Sunday being your crying auntie because you love me. And you want to see us succeed, so.
Every Sunday, FaceTime with the.
Yeah. Honestly, FaceTime is so fine because I like you. You like me. We like our chat. We like our little community. I love it.
I love it, too. It was a short show. We're not cutting it short.
An hour and 20 minutes?
We had planned that this was going to be short and sweet. Already, yeah. But my Wi-Fi being annoying kind of like adds to the short factor. But hopefully next week it's not so bad. Fingers crossed. We have a super chat from Dan who says, "Let the women cook and we shall eat." Thanks.
Yum. Period. Yum.
If someone asked me, like, "What did you talk about?" Wrestling made me cry. I'm going to show them the super chat.
Listen, I'm into it.
Thank you so much for the super chat, Dan. And thank you so much for the super chat, Luis, from earlier. And thank you all of you for coming and watching us yap about the Continental Classic and all the math that I can't do and the International Women's Cup and all of the fun things
for
wrestling. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next Sunday, 12 Eastern. Fightful Overbooked. Be there.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!